In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. We give glory and thanks to God for the opportunity to offer this Eucharistic sacrifice and for this gift of technology that those of you who are at home are able to pray with us via this live stream. You're able to see my face and our faces, my brothers and sisters, but let me be very clear, we miss seeing your faces. The entire world is facing a crisis with this invisible enemy. And it's out of love for the flock that we take these extreme measures that really go against our very nature as Christians, that we must keep the church closed from the public. But to be clear, we love you, we miss you, and we want you to stay safe and healthy. But with that, we must also remember that these extreme measures during these troubling times will not set a new precedent for who we are as Christians. While we thank God for the chance to live stream our services and to bring the church into our homes in this digital way, we still mourn that we cannot be together. And we must yearn and pray from the depth of our hearts that we be reunited in worship and prayer in our churches again. And during these troubling times, I cannot help but be reminded of the encounter Jesus had with the man who was born blind. And his disciples, seeing this encounter, were asking our Lord, who was it that sinned that brought about this blindness? Was it perhaps the man who sinned himself, though it would have been from his mother's womb? Or was it his parents before him that caused this blindness? But Jesus responds to his disciples very clearly that they are asking the wrong question. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And there came about his healing. Suffering is part of the fallen human nature that we have inherited. And suffering is a mystery, one that we are not equipped to serve, to solve, or to answer. But all suffering and hardship can and must be used so that the glory of God might be made manifest. And we find ourselves perplexed about the troubling times and the sufferings that we face these days. And we ask, why? Why is this happening? Why this disease? Why this suffering? But the question we need to ask amidst this hardship, amidst all hardships, is how can the works of God be made manifest through this? We are no longer able to socialize like we would like. We are no longer able to travel or shop or eat out as we would like. And we find ourselves hunkered down in our homes, maybe even away from work for extended periods of time. How can the works of God be made manifest through this? It's very clear that we can use this time to build up the holiness of our little churches, our homes. That we use this time to build up prayer life and more scripture reading in our homes and with our families. And if we live alone, even use this time for the tremendous Lenten struggle of increased prayer and fasting. But let me once again reiterate, the church does not teach any sort of faux, sympathetic, pat-on-your-back theology. Today we come to the midpoint of Great Lent with a right-in-your-face reminder of the center of who we are as Christians. That is the cross of Christ. Today being the third Sunday of Great Lent, the Sunday of the veneration of the Holy Cross, the cross will be set out for us not only to venerate, not only to strengthen us as we approach the midway point of Great Lent, but the cross is brought out as a reminder, a visual and clear reminder of our exact calling if we want to truly call ourselves Christians. And we are reminded of this calling as disciples in today's gospel. But today's gospel reading is not so much an emphasis on the cross of Christ, but on each of our own crosses that we are called to bear. Jesus gives us clear, simple, yet profound requirements of what it means to be a disciple, to be a Christian. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The disciplines of the church, especially during Great Lent, call us to deny ourselves through fasting, through changing our lifestyles and habits, through increased prayer and increased charity and almsgiving. These tools of self-denial are not meant to focus on anything negative, like what not to do, but on something positive, to free ourselves from worldly desires so that we can focus more on the essential elements of life. Self-denial is really a positive action, which will open up our hearts and our minds and our lives to be filled with what is divine. If we are to follow Jesus Christ, we must first say no to ourselves and yes only to Jesus. We must say no to our natural love and ease of comfort, no to every course of action that is based on self-seeking and self-will. Say no to the instincts and desires and appetites which tempt us to indulge and seek temporary pleasures and poisons. This is why we put such emphasis on fasting, denying even our most carnal instinct of hunger and curbing it to a hunger for God Himself, a hunger for prayer, a hunger for holiness. This is exemplified by the words of St. Paul when he writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." There really is no way to be a disciple of Jesus without taking up our cross. Jesus tells us very clearly that if you desire to follow me, you must know where he is headed, and that is that he is headed for crucifixion. If he is crucified, then we have to be crucified, co-crucified with him, co-suffer with him, co-die with him, and ultimately we will co-rise with him and be co-glorified with him. In the cross, we are not taught any kind of feel-good theology, that Christ took on the cross and everything would be fine after that. No, the cross and crucifixion reveals to us something much more profound, much more salvific, much more romantic and loving. That God himself, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, suffers with us. That even amidst these troubling times of the coronavirus, God is with us. He loves us. He hurts with us. He yearns for us and suffers with us. We may be isolated. We are never alone. Through the cross, we are given strength and hope, power and victory. So let us gaze upon the cross, take up our own cross. Let us choose faith over fear, that we may take on these difficulties and challenges rather than avoid them in the dignifying, life-giving spirit of the cross. Even in our isolation, the cross gathers us into our Lord's oneness and unity, gathers us together with other cross bearers and other Christians, though we may be physically separated. Through the cross, joy has come into all the world. To our loving and merciful Lord be all glory, honor, and worship, and may he have mercy on us and save us. Amen.